Bhagavatam, we're on the 11th canto, we're on chapter 5, which is Narada's teachings to Vyasadeva, on text number 34. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We do this together? Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. Before reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respects to the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes in the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead is established as? Okay, thanks. Hare Krishna. So text 34. Text 34 is a little similar to text 33. In fact, they both end in the same phrase, Vande Mahapurusha Te Charanaravindam. These are prayers offered by Karbhanjana Muni, one of the nine yogendras, in praise of Lord Chaitanya and others. Okay, here's the verse. Tvaktva studushya jashurepsita raja laksmin. Tvakva sudushya jasurepsita raja lakshmin. Dharmista arya vachasadyad agad aranyam. Mayam rigam daita yepsitam avadavat. Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. Tvaktva sudushya jashurepsita raja lakshmin. Dharmista arya vachasadyad agad aranyam. Mayam rigam daita yepsitam avadavat.
Mayam rigam daita yepsitam
avadavat. Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam.
Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam.
Please chant. Chakra sudushya jashurev sita raja lakshmin. Dharmista arya vachasaya
raharanyam. Mayam rigam daita yesita mandala. Vande Mahapurushate
Charanaravindam. Chakta Sudushya Jasurepsita Raja Lakshmin. Dharmista Arya Vachasadya Dagadaranyam. Mm-hmm. Dayam Rigam Daita Yeshitam Avat Havad. Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. Sadhya Gadadaranyam Mayam Riganda Ita Yeshitam Avatamba Vande Mahapurushate Charanada Vindam Jatva Sudushya Jashurev Sita Raja Lakshmin Sa Arya Vachasadhya Ragad Aranyam Maya Mriganda Ita Yev Sita Avadava Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. Ladies, sorry, I lost my cue. I thought you were just going to do it. Ladies. Dasya Sudushya Jashure Sita Raja Lakshmin. Mayam Ridam Vita Yev Sita Avadhava Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam Chakra Sudushya Jasurev Sita Raja Lakshmin Maya Mrigam Daita Yevshita Avadadvad Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam Sudupsha Sarev Sita Raja Lakshmin Vatishta Yavacha Sadhya Ragad Aranyam Mayam Rigam Rita Yev Sita Avadava Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam Yatva Sudushya Jasurev Sita Raja Lakshmin Dharmista Arya Vajasadhya Ragad Aranyam Maya Mrigam Daita Yev Sita Avadhava
Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam
Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam So we're going to do the word for word now. as we always do. But I want you to pay a special attention. Pay special attention to these word for words. Because when I first introduced this verse, who did I say that it was a glorification of? Lord Chaitanya. So it is. It's a glorification of Lord Chaitanya, because this is text 34. Text 32 of this chapter was the verse that said people who have superior intelligence, they worship the form of the Lord who comes. Here, I'm going to read it because I think I need to. Comes in this Kali Yuga. Hold on. Here it is. Text 32. So this is text 32. In the age of Kali, this is where we are, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the name of Krishna. So that's totally, clearly Lord Chaitanya, isn't it? Although his complexion is not blackish, because Lord Chaitanya is golden, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So the next verse glorifies Lord Chaitanya, and it ends in Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam, and then this verse also glorifying Lord Chaitanya. But the trick is that the acharyas have given comments on this verse and says that it equally applies to Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Ramachandra. So that's why I want you to take a special attention to the translation of this verse, and we're going to apply it to Lord Chaitanya, to Krishna, and to Lord Ramachandra. Okay? So, tvaktva, abandoning. Sudushjaja, most difficult to give up. Sura ipsita, anxiously desired by the demigods. Raja Lakshmin, the goddess of fortune and her opulences. Dharmista, most perfectly fixed in religiousness. Aryavachasa, according to the words of a Brahmin who had cursed him to be deprived of all the happiness of family life. Yat, he who, agat, went, aranyam, take to the forest, taking to the renounced order of life. Mayamrigan, the conditioned soul, who is always searching out illusory enjoyment. Daitaya, out of sheer mercy. Ipshitam, his desired object. Anvadavat, running after. Vande, I offer my homage. Mahapurusha, O Lord Mahaprabhu. Te, to your. Charanaravindam, lotus feet. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. O Mahapurusha. Wait, that's not your turn yet. I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and is hankered after by even the great demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you thus left for the forest in obedience to a Brahmin's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion. At the same time, you engaged in searching out your own desired object, Lord Shamasundar. Om Agnati Medandasya Jinanjana Salakaya Chaksu Umilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So yesterday when Nagaraj Prabhu gave class, he made a point to read the whole purport. And today I'm going to do exactly the opposite. just go through the verse following the purport, because the purport's quite long and our audience is quite different. Okay, so this verse here, O Mahapurusha, it's a glorification of Lord Chaitanya. This is the first explanation that the Acharyas give. Because, because that verse previous was describing the incarnation of the Lord in Kali Yuga. So, this is Karbhajana Muni speaking. Do you remember? So we're talking about these verses that you've been coming to class for quite some time. You've been hearing from the nine Yogendas. Now, does anybody remember some of the names of the different nine Yogendras whose prayers we've read previously? Kalyani. Chamasa. Yes, good. Thanks, Kalyani. Someone else? Chamasa? Who's today's person? Karbhajana Muni. Okay, some others? Pipalayana. Some others? Kavi. Yeah, there was Havi. Drumila. I can't remember them all either, but I was just... Javier. Yeah, okay, thanks. Anyway, so there's not... Today's Karbhajana Muni, and he's talking about Lord Chaitanya. So here, he's explaining how Lord Chaitanya... Sudushya Surepsita Raja Lakshman. Sudushya means most difficult to give up. So Lord Chaitanya married the most beautiful lady. His wife was more beautiful than the goddess of fortune. In fact, she was the goddess of fortune. She was the goddess of fortune. And yet he gave up her association, which is what? Sudushya, more difficult to give up. And this goddess of fortune, the benedictions that the goddess of fortune gives to everyone is something that materialistic people are hankering for all over the world in all times and in places. They want wealth, they want fame, they want fortune, they want good looks, they want a nice circumstance in life. So even as the previous verse said, Lord Brahma, Virinchita, Shiva Virinchita, that Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are also hankering after the favor of the goddess of fortune. And there, Lord Chaitanya was right there in the same house with the goddess of fortune, but because his desire was so strong to free the conditioned souls from their illusion, he left that situation and on the pretext of a curse. So do you remember the curse? Do you remember the situation of who cursed Lord Chaitanya and why and where and when? I'll give you a hint. It had to do with the chanting of the holy name. When Lord Chaitanya started the Sankirtan movement, at first it was behind closed doors. In whose house? Shrivas's, in Shrivas's house. Shrivas Angam, the house of Lord of Shrivas. So they would chant there, just as intimate associates would chant. Now the people in the town, they knew that he was chanting in there, and they were a little curious, but the doors were locked. And so there's many different stories of people who tried to sneak in and this and that. That's not who we're talking about. But there was this one gentleman, there was one Brahmin, who was refused entrance. And he stood outside and he was very disturbed. They wouldn't allow him to get in. And after all, he was a Brahmin. He was highly qualified. They wouldn't let him in. And so the next morning when they were taking their bath at the Ganges and that Brahmin came across Lord Chaitanya, he said, I curse you. I was so disturbed by not being able to enter into that kirtan. I curse you to never have any materialistic pleasure. And so Lord Chaitanya was, Haribo! He was really happy. That was his reaction. He didn't mind that because why? Because his pleasure isn't on material things. That's so temporary, right? Have you noticed how it comes and goes? Good things, bad things, they all come and go. His pleasure was on the internal platform. So material situation didn't make any difference to him. But on that pretext of that curse, he left his house. And where did he go? He went to the forest, but not just the forest. He went to Jharkhanda forest. He went all around the world, or India anyway, all around, distributing the holy names of Krishna. And what would he do? Sometimes he would, and okay, so here's another word. We're going Dharmista. So Lord Chaitanya was very fixed in religious principles. And then Aryavachasa was according to the words of the Brahmin. And Aranya, he went to the forest. Okay, so here he is. Maya Mrigam. He went to the forest, and what did he see, and who did he see? So it wasn't just the forest, but because material life is often compared to a forest. So Maya Mrigam. So these people in conditional life, they're totally enthralled, totally bewildered by Maya. So they're always searching after the newest, latest gadget, or even here it says gizmo for sense gratification. Have you noticed what happens when you get absorbed in those things? Then you get it, and someone else has a better one. Or you get it and you figure out how to program it and work it, and you can do all sorts of neat things and play all sorts of neat games, and it breaks. And you get it and you can do all sorts of neat things, and someone has a better one, and then they reprogram it, and what you used to do you can't do anymore because you need to get another one. It's always like that. So Lord Chaitanya went after these people, Maya Mrigam, who are like totally entrapped, bewildered, illusioned, and enthralled in the newest, latest thing. And he went and he would embrace them. What's the word? Daita. Daita is out of mercy. Daita, out of mercy. He would sometimes embrace people. And by his embrace, what would happen to those people? Like, you remember when... well, this isn't exactly an embrace, but when the hunt of... fisherman touched Lord Chaitanya, they caught him in his net. What happened to the fisherman? He just became overcome with love of Godhead. Krishna prem, the highest thing. He couldn't even understand he thought it was a ghost. He couldn't even understand what was happening. He couldn't even understand, you know. So Lord Chaitanya would purposely sometimes go and embrace people to release him from the clutches of Maya. So we offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya. I'm sure there's more things about Lord Chaitanya. But anyway, so now our acharyas, they also say, well, this applies to Lord Krishna too. So how is it that we can take the same words and get different meanings from it? Sometimes it's very possible. And sometimes... on a mundane, so this is transcendental, so it's a different platform, but sometimes on a mundane thing, or like on day-to-day things, have you ever had the occasion where you're talking to somebody and you're saying one thing and you're thinking and expressing your idea in one way, and they're understanding, even the words that you're saying, they're understanding a whole different thing? Have you ever had that happen? I bet you a teacher has had that happen a lot. But even just like on regular little things, it's sometimes communication is an art, as you'll notice as the days go by. Communication is a real art. And sometimes if you ever, if you're particularly absorbed in something, it's not like the other person is absorbed in seeing it in the same way. So now we'll bring it back to a transcendental point. So Srimad Bhagavatam explains that this happens all the time. In fact, Lord Brahma, way back in the third canto, now we're on the 11th canto, in the third canto, Lord Brahma's, it's called the prayers of, prayer for creative energy. He's praying for creative energy. He says, in chapter 9, in the third canto, text number 11, he says, Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hrit Saroja, Hrit Saroja. Okay, I'll tell you in a minute. Asesha shuche tita patona nunata pumsan yad yad diatad urugaya vibhavayanti tad tad vapu pranayase sad anugrahaya. So you know what that means? Okay, I'll try. It means, oh my Lord, Oh my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears. They can see you by what they're hearing about. They can see you, what they're hearing, who they're hearing about, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Ramachandra, or the latest, newest, this or that. What they hear about, that's what they see. Have you ever experienced that? Like, for example, when somebody becomes interested in becoming a doctor, let's just take that example, right? So he's going through all these different studies and he's learning about all what germs and this and that. And then when he goes out to the world, because he's studied all of that, he sees germs and he sees this and he sees disease and because he's heard so much about that. So similarly, if we pack our ears, which are really, really small holes in our head, right? But they don't have a limited capacity to hear. They can hear unlimitedly, even though they're just teensy-weensy little things. So if we pack our ears and our mind with Krishna Katha and stories about Krishna, then what's going to happen? Then that's what's going to come out your eyes. That's what you're going to see. And so when you see that, then what happens? It comes out your mouth. You talk about Krishna. So hrit saroja, hrit means it goes to the heart too. So what you put in your ears goes to your heart, affects your consciousness. That's what you see, and that's what comes out your mouth. Interesting how it's all connected. And that's why people are hammering and repeating the same thing. Hear about Krishna, because if you hear about Krishna, then it will affect your heart, it will affect your vision, it will affect your speech. Anyway, so here's the rest of the translation. Oh my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed and you take your place there. You're so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular form, in particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So Krishna manifests himself in that form that we meditate on. So what does that have to do with today's verse? Well, it has to do with the fact that some of the acharyas says this applies, this verse with these same words apply to Lord Krishna. And how did they do that? Well, here's what they did. They said, Sudushchita Suripsita refers to Mathura Puri, the opulence of Mathura. It was so opulent when Krishna manifested there that no other place could equal that opulence of Krishna in any other place. And then, what was the Aryavachasa, the words of the Aryavachasa, according to the words of the Brahman? Okay, Aryavachasa in that case refers to how Krishna left for the forest. He went from the prison house of Kamsa by the instructions of his mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki. They said, Vasudev took him to Nanda Maharaj's place. So over there, he was there in the forest, and what was he doing? Playing Maya Mrigam. Here, for Lord Chaitanya, talked about how he was interested in the conditioned souls, but here Maya Mrigam for Krishna refers to the special secret relationship, that superlative relationship that Lord Krishna had with Srimati Radharani that not everybody could understand. It was a little hidden, but it was, and so Krishna played just like a doll in her hands. So he played around Vrindavan, played with the cows, and exhibited that special love for Srimati Radharani. And Anvandavat indicates that Krishna's boyish activities of herding the cows. So they took the same words and they applied it to Krishna. And then Sridhar Swami, he takes again the same words, the same text, he doesn't change any of the words, and he applies it to Lord Ramachandra. So he says that Lord Ramachandra, Aryavachasa, which means the words of the instructions. So Lord Ramachandra, what did he do? We're all very familiar how he left the palace just on the words of his father, because his father had the promise to Kaikeyi, and he said, you have to go to the forest for 14 years. Lord Ramachandra immediately just accepted and went to the forest, no questions asked, no regrets on the words of his father. And everybody in Ayodhya, they were so attached to Lord Ramachandra. Everybody was attached to him. And they all felt such separation when he went to the forest. But still he did it anyway. So, and then Maya Mrigam, in this sense, is Mriga is also means deer. And Maya Mriga was the deer, the illusionary deer. Who was that deer? Who took the form of the deer? Marichi. Good. Yeah, Marichi took the form of the deer and pranced, the golden deer, and Sita became attracted. Lord Ramachandra left her, and you know the rest. Then she was kidnapped. So this is not... It's not unusual. It's they're hearing by who they're hearing about, who they're attached to, then they're seeing their activities and forms and in so many ways. So it's all culminated in the Sat Bhuja form of Lord Chaitanya. Are you familiar with that form of Lord Chaitanya? What's so special about that Sat Bhuja form? Can one person say? Oh, Vanamali? Yeah, exactly. So he has two parts. Sarvamangala? Can you say that again or say it louder? Oh, that is so nice. Now you can hardly ever forget it then, right? And you'll always know who your dad is because you look and see, that's my dad. Cool. Okay, so how can we tell that Sat Bhuja form is Lord Ramachandra? Gopal? Okay, but now we're asking about Lord Ramachandra. So what would be the two hands that would show that he was Lord Ramachandra? The bow and arrow, right, exactly. Mr. Garangaji, what would you like to say? Okay, tell us about the Krishna arms. Krishna arms are holding a flute and they're playing the flute. What color are they? Blue, okay, I knew you knew that part. Okay, and then, come on, Rai Kishore, thanks, sorry, just took a while. Lord Chaitanya arms. A stick, a water pot. And that stick sometimes called a danda, the danda that the sannyasis call. That you're right. So that's there, so here we have this form of Lord Chaitanya which encapsulates all three forms. Because it's explained in Brahma Samhita, who can think? Now here's a think question. Who can think of a verse from Brahma Samhita? Wait, I didn't say it yet. That helps us understand these angas of the limbs of the Lord being interchangeable limbs. Okay, Garanga, do you know it? It was a false lead. How about you, Prabhu? You're not Srivas, you're Narasan. Who are you? Shyam. Okay, sorry. Okay. Fourth verse. That's very nice. I don't know what the fourth verse is just by saying fourth verse. Can you give me a hint at some of the words? Yeah. Thanks. Can we say it together? Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pasyanti panti kalayanti chiranjaganti ananda chinmaya sad ujvala vigrahasya govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So now I'm going to read a little bit from the purport. All the limbs, angani, of the Supreme Lord are sakalendriya vrittimanti, or possessing all of the functions of the other limbs. Thus, the two lotus feet of the personality of Godhead are a plenary. What does plenary mean? Little kids. What is, so they're a plenary representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We hear that term a lot. This is a plenary form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What does that mean? Karanga. Expansion. Yes, almost. Anything else? A little more clearer? We can do it. How about this? I'll give you a hint. How, are you studying U.S. government? There's a plenary session of the Senate. Does that give you a hint? Okay. Who's going to help us? You're going to have to look it up on your phone and your dictionary. Pran Govinda Prabhu? Thanks, which is totally opposite of what I understand. But thank you. I'm always learning. Plenary means full. Anyway, we're going to skip over that very delicately and go on to another point. There's no factual difference in spiritual quality between incarnations of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, and Lord Sri Ram. It's stated in the Vedic literatures, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadir, Anantarupam. Therefore, there is no, just in case you thought that the Acharyas were contradicting themselves, they're not. Therefore, there is no contradiction in the opinion of the Acharyas that this verse wonderfully glorifies three different manifestations of the one absolute truth. Now, here's another question for you. Three different manifestations of the absolute truth. Can you think of an example from Srila Prabhupada where he explains how we can understand the absolute truth in three different ways, three different levels of understanding? I'll give you a hint. The hint is he explains it, he gives an example of seeing a train from a distance. Have you heard that example before? Garanga. Right. Good. We should get a microphone because this is going to be long. The glowing light. And he wasn't wrong, right? He was correct. Thank you. Can we pass up the mic? Go ahead.
A moving box or something like that.
Yeah.
And
was he wrong?
No.
No.
And then the third person said it had windows and like beds inside of it, and it had a headlight, and it could move.
He understood it more completely. Right. So they're giving different understandings. So this is not, I'm not inferring that the Acharya is in the same way that it applies to this verse, but that term, the three different aspects of the absolute truth, I kind of jumped over to that, okay? Thanks. So there's three different ways to understand the Lord, too, or the Lord's potencies. And some people understand that God is all-pervading, that he's everywhere. And they're not wrong, but they're on the path. They're making progress. They understand that God is everywhere. And some people think, God's in my heart. That's correct. God's in the heart. He's in the heart of every living entity, not only just in the human people's heart, but in the trees and the animals and the grass heart. That's great realization of the absolute truth. And then some people can understand that God is all-pervading. He's in the heart of every living entity, and he's a person in his own right, a supreme person, a supreme enjoyer who has his own pastimes in the spiritual world. So things can be understood differently at different times by one's level of realization. So here's another thing. Do you have any questions or any comments, or you want to discuss anything or clarify anything? Who cursed Lord Chaitanya? He's an unnamed Brahmin that I know of. Maybe in another book it says his name, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita it doesn't give his name. Okay, he's off the hook. Anything else? Oh. It wasn't very clear. Thanks for pointing that out. Okay, so in relation to Krishna, about this verse, so he left the prison house, you know, so one of the words is Aryavachasa, on the words, so that means on the words, or and according to the words. So according to the instructions, he left the prison house of Kamsa, which was in Mathura city, more or less. And he went to the forest, Vrindavan forest, and there he had pleasure pastimes, and Maya Mrigam means his loving relationship with Srimati Radharani. And then there was another word that was his boyish activities, Anvadhavat, running after, so that he would run around Vrindavan and herd the cows. Is that a little clearer? Is that okay? Thanks. Anything else? Bing! It's time. Sorry to see you go. Hari Bol, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thanks for your attention.